Call the Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs to order today, please. It's about 2:28. Apologize for a late start, but it wasn't anything we had any control over. We do have three bills before us today. And present in the room at the moment, we expect some people to come in and others may have to leave, but we are starting with Representative Nancy Dahlstrom, Representative Jay Ramirez, Representative Gabriella Ledoux, myself, Bob Roses, and we are to be joined shortly here by Representative Scott Kawasaki. And so with that being said, we will start. The first bill we have before us today is House Bill 383, which is the dentist license exam. And I want to remind everybody, please, if you have your cell phones, make sure they're turned off. Karen, would you like to introduce yourself and please proceed?
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. For the record, my name is Karen Litzter, and I am staff to Representative John Carkill. And this bill that we have before you today is going to be a small change that we are requesting in order to allow the state to capture the talent and expertise of many military dentists who now are no longer involved in the active clinical practice, but instead have been promoted and now serve in command supervisory positions. This change was brought to us at the request of the President of the Board of Dentistry and has received the support of the Alaskan Dental Society and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. These professionals have a great deal to offer the residents of Alaska, and it is in our best interest to allow the exception of the 20 hours of active clinical practice to be exchanged for serving in a full-time supervisory position. It is my understanding that Dr. Eichler is available for testimony, and also Jenny Strickler from the Department of Commerce and Occupational Licensing. I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Let me go to online to Dave Eichler. Dave, if you'd identify yourself and any affiliation that might have, and please proceed with your testimony.
Yes, this is Dave Eichler. I'm a dentist in North Pole, and I'm here, although I am president of the State Board of Dental Examiners, I'm coming here as a private dentist only. This hasn't been considered by the board because I hadn't expected it to come up so soon. So this is something that I personally pursued as a something I saw as an oversight in our statutes, because an occasion did come up where a very highly qualified individual did not qualify for licensure under the present statutes without beginning the whole process again, because they were in a command position with the armed services. And although they had served very well and very competently, they were no longer in a position to acquire the 20 hours of, per week of clinical practice. Their job didn't allow that. So I, in conference with Representative Coghill's office, we put this together.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions for Mr. Eichler? Seeing no questions from the committee, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Any questions of the bill sponsor? Anybody in the audience wishing to testify? Anybody else online? No. Guys, I will close public testimony in House Bill 383. Any comments from any of the committee members or any questions? Is your hand raised? Mm-hmm. Representative Dahlstrom?
Do you have a question?
He has a mouthful. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Representative Dawson, then I'll go to Ramirez.
Thank you. I just think this is a fantastic bill, and I think this is a concept that we need to look at other professionals who have needs that will benefit Alaskans who are in the military, that we can incorporate this same concept.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Ramirez.
Mr. Chairman, the public testimony blew by me, which is okay. I just wanted to thank Dr. Eichler. I was in North Pole this weekend. It was good to be home. It was beautiful there. And we all know how greatly in need we are for good medical care and dental care. And I just wanted to thank Dr. Eichler not only for choosing to practice in North Pole, but also for participating in the public process and helping us craft good public policy. Dr. Eichler, my hat's off to you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir, and thank you for your kind comments.
Any other comments or any questions from the other committee members? Seeing none, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move House Bill number 383, version A, with any attached physical note and individual recommendations.
Seeing no one opposed, House Bill 383 has passed out of the Military Veterans Affairs. Thank you to the sponsor.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Is anyone here representing Senator Wilikowski's office to present the issue on the Medal of Distinction we have before us? Decoration of Honor, we call it now. Okay. Representative Dahlstrom, would you like to speak to what the issue is?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have no idea what Senator Wilikowski would have chosen to say, but this is an issue that many of us in the House have been working on for about the past year and a half, and we, quite simply, it's an award that will be an Alaskan award called the Alaskan Decoration of Honor to give to those members who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price in defending our country. And we considered different names and came up with the Alaska Decoration of Honor because we didn't want to take away anything from the Medal of Honor, which is the national award, and the seriousness that goes with that. So this is an incredible, I think it's the least that we can do to thank these families. And I certainly look forward, as this committee and JASC moves forward and works on getting the orders placed for the coins, the boxes, everything will be Alaskan made, and being able to plan the first official ceremony and have the families there and thank them for their service, and thank you for your support in this committee also on it.
Okay. I did want to address this a little bit. This goes along with the bill that we passed out of this committee last year, and this is a resolution that simply outlines the presentation and outlines who is to receive it on the first go-around. We do know that this is not a complete list. It takes a while for all the names to be shaken out and what's going on in this. So we want anybody that's online or anybody paying attention to this to know that if there happens to be a name left out of this, there is plenty of time to get it corrected. It's very difficult to get the list 100% accurate, but this is the best attempt that we could get with everybody working together at this point. And we have been joined by Senator Wilikowski. Representative Dahlstrom introduced the resolution for us and stated that it was a continuation of the work we had done last year, and this is just a resolution to identify it. So if there's anything you'd like to add, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, Bill Wilikowski, State Senator of Northeast Anchorage. I just want to apologize for being here late. I was actually hearing one of your resolutions and one of Mr. Representative Rammer's bills in another committee. I have nothing else to honor. It sounds like you've covered it. This, as you said, this is following up on a bill that was pushed forward by Representative Dahlstrom and passed unanimously, HB 244, and this is the resolution which lists the names of those who are eligible for Alaska Decoration of Honor. Happy to answer any questions your members might have, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, doesn't show that we have anybody online wanting to testify. Is anybody in the audience wishing to testify? I'm going to close public testimony on SCR 18. And any questions from the committee? Any comments?
I'll move that.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move the Senate concurrent resolution number 18, version CA, with attached physical note and individual recommendations from committee.
Seeing no one opposed, resolution has moved from committee. Did want to make a comment to this committee and wanted to go on the record. I certainly know that the Military Veterans Affairs Committee and everybody out there is very much appreciative of the work that all of us have done on this. And this has been at least 2 years in the making that I'm aware of, and probably considerably longer than that. So all I can say is it's a job well done by all of you that have been involved in this, and it's about time that we made the families proud of the service they had. So thanks to all of your work.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Senator. Okay, We are now going to move on to House Bill 405, the Student Loan Forgiveness for Military. If you would like to state your name for the record and what your affiliation is, and then proceed with your testimony, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. For the record, my name is Chris Birdsall. I'm an intern for Representative Crawford this session. And House Bill 405 is intended to provide a 50% loan forgiveness to Alaska student loan debt held by Alaska residents who serve or have served in the armed forces since 2001 and who have been deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan. And we believe this is a way for the state to recognize the sacrifice made by these troops by putting themselves in harm's way for our protection. And at the same time, we believe this bill will help troops reenter civilian life by reducing the financial burden that they may face when trying to pay for a college education. And that concludes my opening statement. I'm available for questions.
Okay, we do have Diane Behrens is in the audience from the Commission on Postsecondary Education, and she's here to answer any questions. But Diane, you have the floor if you'd like to make any comment.
Just one point of clarification, please, Mr. Chair.
Again, for the record, state your name and your affiliation.
My name is Diane Behrens. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education, and it's more of just a semantical clarification, Mr. Chair. Chris or Mr. Birdsall had indicated that it would be forgiveness of Alaska student loans. It would actually be, according to my analysis, forgiveness of any loan made by the commission to these individuals, and that does include some federal education loans that they have borrowed as well. We actually administer separate loan programs. One is a state supplemental loan program, and the other is we participate as a lender in the federal family education loan program.
Okay. Representative Ledoux.
Well, then if we're forgiving the federal loan, wouldn't the feds have to say that's okay, or would we be actually paying the $20,000 on behalf of the, or the $10,000 to the feds on behalf of the serviceman?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, the debt is actually the service person's, and the lender is the Alaska Student Loan Corporation. The role that the federal government plays with respect to the federal education loans is they simply guarantee them in the event that the person defaults or becomes disabled or dies.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee members?
What's the fiscal note on this bill?
It's right here. It's looks like $1,100,000.
I do have a question.
Please lead.
This is such a sensitive subject, so I'm just trying to figure out how to frame my question appropriately. But it seems to me right now, and I'm trying to recollect when Senator Stevens or Senator Murkowski came to speak to the whole legislature, and we have members of our armed services from the state of Alaska who can't collect a permanent fund dividend presently while they're being deployed. Is that accurate? Is that recollection ring a bell with any of the members here? And so it just seems to be an odd leap here to leap right to debt forgiveness when, as a body, as a collective body, we can't even resolve a permanent fund that's enjoyed by 600,000 Alaskans, let alone forgiveness. And so I wonder if what other testimony that we're going to hear from, or who in the state of Alaska we're going to hear from, or what kind of legal folks we're going to hear from as it relates to the status of people being Alaskans. That, I mean, if there's such a, I've only been here for 4 years, Mr. Chairman, but there's been such resistance over that 4 years to figuring out an appropriate mechanism for honoring our deployed soldiers with a permanent fund dividend, and we can't seem to get over that hurdle. I don't want to go lightly unless I... I want to thank you. I just want to be comfortable with what we're doing, that we're not just a small committee in the House side of the legislature that's just spinning off into orbit without taking into consideration the broader concerns that have been expressed by various standing committees in the legislature over the 4 years that I've been here. And I just think it warrants appropriate discussion, even if our intention is to move forward with this. Because I certainly would support, you know, permanent fund dividends for our deployed soldiers, but we can't resolve that. Now we're jumping to debt forgiveness of student loans. So I just wanted to bring that to the chairman's attention.
I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, this isn't a direct response, Representative Ramirez, to your issue, but I would tell you that the fiscal note was developed by identifying those of our borrowers who had qualified for the 2007 dividend and also who had received a deferment or forbearance relative to their deployment or reactivation based on the activity overseas. So the $1.1 million is the immediate, what we would consider to be immediately available forgiveness entitlement. As you may notice, in future fiscal years, I've just left it indeterminate. I don't think this would be large sums of money going forward, because what you have in the $1.1 million is the burden to date, the outstanding debt, or half of the outstanding debt of those individuals.
I had a question for Mr. Birdsall.
Just pull another chair up there. Go ahead and stay, Diane. We probably will have more response needed from you.
I guess I was just wondering if there are any more dangerous places besides Iraq and Afghanistan that we've sent our soldiers to with respect to the war on terror. Have any of them been in... I really don't know the answer to this question. Have any of them been in Pakistan or any of those other hotbeds over there?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ledoux, that is a very excellent question, and I'm afraid I'm not an expert on that. I don't have the answer to that, but certainly I believe that our intent is to reward all these folks who are, you know, serving in areas of danger like this in the war on terror. But as to how many we have in other places, I don't know the answer to that.
The problem is that if it's your intention to give the forgiveness to everybody who's been deployed in this effort, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or someplace else, it specifies Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, so it limits it to that, and that's my concern.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ledoux, I definitely understand that concern. And the way this bill started out was we had a constituent who had a son in Iraq who had outstanding Alaska student loan debt, and so that was how we were originally going to put it forward, just members that have served in Iraq. But then we said, well, wait, we have Afghanistan too. We can't forget about Afghanistan. So as far as expanding this to cover troops in other areas, as you suggested, maybe there are some in Pakistan or other places, we wouldn't be opposed to that at all. As to how much larger the group of soldiers would be, I'm not sure, though. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Do we have anybody online wanting to testify on this bill? Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your testimony. I think the intent of the bill is great. I do have an amendment I would like to offer in a moment that basically adds the United States Coast Guard also to this on page 1, line 14. But what's just been brought up by Representative Ledoux is, I think, a really valid point. And I will tell you that from representing two military bases, we have people in probably 30 or 40 different countries that are serving that their families don't even know where they are for security reasons. And so I think the correct thing to do to be able to include them would be to not name off every country, but to somehow come up with the right language that states that they are in the service of our country and wherever they're at, so we're not leaving people out. Some of those folks are doing jobs that they'll never ever be able to even talk about or be recognized for, or you know, so it's a very valid point.
Let me tell you what my intent is with the bill. Given the fact that we were supposed to start much earlier than we did and the floor session ran long, there may have been individuals that wanted to testify in this bill that didn't call in because they thought the committee meeting would have been canceled. And so this is too important of an issue to everybody that's involved in the military and certainly to members of this committee. So it's my intention to hold the bill, reschedule it for when we have our next meeting, and maybe the questions that Representative Rammers had, as well as the concerns that Representative Ledoux had, can be addressed and maybe be incorporated into a CS when you bring it back, since you know what our concerns are. So since we do have a few minutes left, if there are any other issues or concerns that may be incorporated into that when we hear it the next time, this would be a good time to air them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, like Representative Dahlstrom, I also represent the fine men and women of Fort Wainwright and 55% of my district. So like Representative Dahlstrom, it's a disproportionate part of my district, and it's very sensitive because I've been a frequent guest at Soldier of the Month breakfasts, and there's no finer collection of young people. There's no greater source of pride than to hear them, hear these young men and women and the middle-aged mentors that they have express pride, whether it's DENTAC or military police or infantry or even the officers are okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, they are.
It's really extraordinary. But like Representative Dahlstrom, I've got troops through the National Guard that deploy all over the world and are in harm's way in far less dangerous theaters than Iraq or Afghanistan. But once they're there, it's no less dangerous a place for them on a day-to-day basis, which is why they're so focused on their mission. I think that's an important consideration. And I do appreciate the distinction about their qualification for a permanent fund dividend, but I find that this bill is more complex than it might first seem. And I noticed, Mr. Chairman, that we have one of the bill co-sponsors here in the committee, and I thought that we might glean some insight from the co-sponsor, Representative Kawasaki, on how we might address the finer points and some of the nuances of this piece of legislation.
Representative Kawasaki, I know you're feeling a little under the weather, but if you're up to responding, we'd appreciate it.
No, I think that the bill has a couple questions that I need answered to, and so if we need to hold it over until we can get with the sponsor and sort of pound out some of the questions. A question I have just looking at the first couple lines is how we figure out if the borrower actually is deployed, and that's a station is in Afghanistan, or if he was just transferred on an assignment briefly. There's a lot of questions I think I've got around surrounding that, and then for Ms. Behrens to be able to identify those folks is going to be an issue that I think we'll have to address.
So if you and the bill sponsor kind of understand what the concerns that we have, if you guys are willing to work on that and bring it back at another date, then we'll proceed. Representative Rammers.
Also, Mr. Chairman, I was just thinking about the proposed amendment from Representative Dahlstrom. Didn't we lose a few Coast Guard people just a few months ago, right off the coast of Alaska in the line of duty? I mean, so it's, I think there's many more layers to this piece of legislation. It's a good piece of legislation, but there's many more layers to it. And it's, I appreciate the bill sponsor. I sit next to him. I like him very much. I appreciate the intention. I wish he was here to articulate his thoughts, and I look forward to having Representative Crawford back before us and have more thorough discussions that warrants a good discussion, even if it's late in the session. The premise is, I applaud the bill sponsor for the premise.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Birdsall, if one of the things you could discuss with the sponsor of the bill also is what, certainly we're going to have to come up with a policy because of those unfortunate few bad apples that abuse systems. So if someone has been default in their loan for a year, or they know they're going to their home for a year, but they're going to go back, and then they go to school and they purposely don't make payment. You get the gist of what I'm saying. We're honoring them for their service, but there's also an expectation, too, I think, that they need to have been current in their payments up to the point, you know, that they would have left.
The intent is that we don't want someone to deliberately forego payment on their loan when they know in a year they're going to be mobilized, so they just back off their obligation knowing that's going to get picked up. So, again, we don't want to enable or enable bad behavior. So, I see Ms. Behrens is anxious to respond.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering, since the committee is openly discussing this bill, the extent to which you'd like to advise on a couple of issues. One, the period of time during which a person would be able to apply for this benefit from the state. Would it continue until after they had been discharged? Do we require that discharge be an honorable discharge? Currently, the bill doesn't contain authorization for the commission to further define the terms and conditions in regulation. So if it were the advice of the committee that we'd be able to do so, that language can be added. If you really want to get into the weeds, as we say, we can flesh out some of those issues and then give it a go in statute.
And we'd appreciate very much if you would have those conversations with the bill sponsors. I can assure you that sentiment would be resounding around this table. Mm-hmm. Any other concerns or issues that we'd like to have the sponsor address before we see the bill again? Are you satisfied with having this amendment included as part of their discussion, or did you want to move it?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair, I'm satisfied.
Any other concerns by any of the committee members? Again, I apologize for the lateness to everybody, but it wasn't anything we had any control over. But we will hold this bill over, and hopefully you'll bring us a CS and address some of those concerns. Thank you very much. Any other concerns or comments for any of the committee members? We will not be meeting on Thursday, so I will let everybody know when the next meeting is going to be, and that'll be when this bill is ready or when we have another bill to go along with it. I try to hold them until we have at least two. And with that being said, then this committee meeting is adjourned.